Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word as we honor him by honoring his word. Do you know that God honors his word very highly? And what a gift, the word of God is. And may I lovingly encourage you to not only read the word of God, but to obey the word of God, live by the word of God, and you will be blessed. And you will live a happy, joyful, victorious life, no matter what the circumstances are. Even if a hurricane hits, even if there's a shooting, no matter what your tribulation might be in life, Jesus and God's word can carry you through. And we are praying for you, our friends down in the Bahamas. We have many people who listen to this poor preacher in the Bahamas. And we thank God for all of our friends down in the Caribbean. My wife is from the islands, Jamaica land. And we have many listeners there. We thank God for all of you in Puerto Rico. And we're praying for you. And I know the world does not want us to pray for you, but we are praying for you. The best thing we can do for you is to pray for you. And we're praying that not only will God comfort you during this time, but that God will help you during this time, and that God will touch the hearts of others to help you. And so many hearts have been touched to help you. But we're also praying that God will use this tragedy to turn many to Jesus. So turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. And again, I thank God for my baby son assisting me in this sermon, Daniel Ezekiel. And he's doing a wonderful job. You pray for him. The devil is mad at him for doing such a wonderful job with the preparation of the preaching of the gospel and the word. At the same time, the word is going down deeper into his heart. And so that's a good thing. The lifestyle of the messengers of Christ, part 16, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 859. Since January the 20th, 2017, day 1225 since January the 1st, 2016, as we're still marching on towards 1,000 days during the Trump administration. And oh, how we need the Word of God. We needed it throughout the Obama administration, and we need it still in the Trump administration, and we need it in every period and every time, no matter who is president and the leader of the free world. Pray for our government leaders as we are commanded by God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible reads, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." And this is apropos for this time, because many Christians don't realize it, but persecution is coming in America and is already here. Verse 17, "But be aware of men." You better watch out for the devil, but you better also watch out for the men that the devil uses. Jesus said, "But be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." This is happening around the world, but it's coming to America. to a city near you. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. Judas killed himself, but the spirit of Judas is alive and well in this country and around the globe and in your family and in your church. I'll be sharing more about that in the near future. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. Don't be shocked at the betrayal that you will experience when you stand for Jesus, for some of that betrayal will come from your own family. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. Keep getting up. Keep on doing the job. Keep on preaching. Just preach in another city. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. For verily, truly, I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Holy Father God in heaven, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, for all of it is due your holy name, truly. And as you know, Lord, you know our hearts. We don't just say that. It sounds like something that everybody says, but Lord, I really mean it. You deserve all of the glory, praise, and honor. We praise you and we thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation and victory through him. We thank you, Lord, for the power, the presence, the peace of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the power of your Holy Word. We individually as Christians and publicly confess our own sins, our faults, and our failures. We acknowledge that we have sinned against you, have grieved your Holy Spirit, have quenched your Holy Spirit in various and sundry ways. Lord, help your Christian people to admit their sins, to confess their sins, to be humble and broken about it, and to be open about it. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. Lord, if we want to see a change in America and in this world, we need to, at the church, acknowledge that judgment must begin at the house of God, that we must first acknowledge our sins. Help us to confess our sins and to repent and to turn from our evil ways. When Daniel prayed for his nation, he probably didn't sin as much as the nation of Israel, but he included himself. For we are not perfect, no matter what our role is in your church. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas. For the devil, there's a devil loose across this country and around the globe. We pray that you would cast him out of the lives of the people who claim to be Christians, out of families and out of churches. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts. Stop his working against us. Help us to resist the devil that he would flee from us. And Lord, I know there are some prosperity saints who say we give the devil too much credit. No, all I know is somebody is bopping heads in the church and in families. all I know is that there are too many, unnecessary divorces, many unnecessary children being left stranded by their selfish parents, too many churches, too much turmoil in churches, too much evil, too much sin in churches today. So Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from your true church and from your true Christians, from true families, for he's seeking to destroy those who mean business for you. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Demonstrate the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit as you have in the past. And Lord, I still find quite amazing after 40 years of preaching your gospel. And Lord, we pray for souls to be saved, Christians to be revived, your holy name glorified, Jesus Christ exalted, and Satan horrified at the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus Christ, as we pray it in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, Georgi Petrovich Vins, a Russian pastor who was persecuted by the Soviet Union in the 1960s and 70s, told judges during a trial in 1966, "You regard us here neither as thieves nor as robbers. Today, as in the time of Pilate, Christ Jesus, the Savior, is accused." Dene Light. Light, Dene. "Once again, there is mocking and scorn, slander and noisy jubilance. But he remains yet, and his glance embraces sinners with unending compassion," end of quote. And that is so true. Unending compassion. Jesus Christ, the God-man, just took it. He took it so good, he took it so well, if you will, that he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't realize that I'm dying for them." Now that's love for you. Pastor V. Cuthbertson is famous for saying, "Don't give people a stick to beat you with." Well, unfortunately, in this country, some black pastors, some black and white pastors, so-called Christian leaders in this country, who have not confronted honestly the last two presidents, President Obama and President Trump, as they should, as they should have, regarding them approving and causing the government to sanction the abomination and sin of homosexuality and the double abomination of homosexual marriage in the sight of God, thus giving them a stick to beat true gospel preachers and pastors for years to come. I predict that severe persecution, you mark my words, I predict that severe persecution will come from this issue against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America and around the world. And unfortunately and sadly, it has already started. Pardon me. They're starting with bakers and candlestick makers and wedding businesses, but they're coming after the church. Pastors and preachers will be jailed, will be persecuted, will have their sermon notes confiscated. The government will one day, yes, in America, oh, the church will survive, but they will run the church underground because pastors and preachers, so-called Christian leaders, did not stand up against the government for God. Sadly, some are in cahoots with the government. Be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, in this series of messages, we have looked extensively at the persecution that Jesus Christ warned his disciples they would face. And also how he wanted them to act when being oppressed and attacked. Now we turn our attention to the last verse in this passage. In this passage, Jesus tells his disciples that when confronted with hostility in one area, they should flee to another. This goes back to the first verse in this passage, where Jesus told the apostles to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sometimes, beloved, in the words of my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., it's time to get your grip. Another phrase he would use is, it's time to get your hat. Sometimes it's just time to get your hat and get your grip and move on down the road. Sometimes it is not worth trying to continue to reach people where you know the people will not listen and will possibly put you to death. Jesus talked about this in another passage when he said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't waste your time. It's okay. You're not a scaredy cat. But we have too many folk today in the church so proud and arrogant. They've tried to stand up against stuff they don't need to stand up against. As a modern example, it would be very difficult for a missionary to get inside North Korea, for you would be under constant surveillance by the government. And once they found out you were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching Christianity, you would be arrested, imprisoned, put into a work camp, and their work camps are hell. or either deported or worse, executed. Although thankfully people have been able to share the gospel in North Korea through broadcasting, dropping leaflets, radio messages, and smuggling books and gospel tracts as well as audio and video recordings inside the country. While fleeing from a place because of persecution may look like cowardice, it is not so. It is wise. It is obeying Jesus. I don't know why preachers want to go where they're not welcome. We have a group like that today. Denying Christ to avoid persecution is certainly cowardice and something we should be ashamed of. And I really do not believe a true Christian would do it. But leaving a North Korea-type situation in order to spread the gospel in a more open country, for example, like South Korea, is common sense. It is wise. You might lead someone to Jesus who might be able to get in to North Korea and turn it upside down for the Lord. And in fact, it advances the spreading of the gospel far more than remaining in North Korea. We have too many people today who like to go to far-flung places to preach the gospel to people that don't even understand them and who will kill them for invading their area, but won't witness to anybody right next door to them, won't witness to black folk across town. They'll let Chicago go to hell to go to the Amazon. They will leave from Chicago, where people are killing each other like animals, not witness to them, and go to some far-flung place, got to use a boat plane or whatever you call it, to get in there. Understanding that their lives are in jeopardy. God told us to share the gospel and to preach the gospel locally first, and then the surrounding areas, and then go to other areas of the world. Dr. Matthew Henry described it this way. He said, "It is no inglorious thing for Christ's soldiers to quit their ground," remember that word soldiers, "to quit their ground, provided they do not quit their colors." That's military terminology back in the day. "They may go out of the way of danger, though they must not go out of the way of duty. As soldiers in the army of the Lord," remember that phrase, "it may be expedient for us to retreat in one area where we are not having any success. As long as we advance in another area where the people are more willing to hear the good news." Why fish in a fishing hole where there's no fish? And all of the fish are jumping out of the water trying to bite your hand off. They're skipping by the bait that you put on the pole. And you got your buddy down on the other end of the river catching the fish every minute. You might want to go down there and get you some. And there are great fishing holes for soul winners. Many of us know the stories of the legendary missionaries such as David Livingstone, Jim Elliot, and William Carey, who went forth from Christian nations to share the gospel light of Christ in the darkest corners of the world. They're honored now, and we thank God for them. In fact, one of the reasons why you can go to certain lands to preach the gospel is because of these brave men and women. Well, nowadays, we do not have to visit closed-door countries in Africa, South America, India, or Asia to find a right mission field. We only have to look around us at the secularism that is becoming the dominant culture in America, a once Christian nation. One of the Democrat presidential candidates rebuked her own party this past week by saying the Democrats are too secularized because now they are ridiculing people for praying for people being caught in the Dorian hurricane. A Democrat said that. That's the kind of world we live in, and it's going to get worse and worse. While the apostles were only told to witness in Israel at that time, we are told to witness wherever there is an opportunity. There are open doors everywhere, and we ought to walk in them. Let us take advantage of every opportunity that is open to us so that we will be found laboring for Christ when He comes. Why bang your head up against a closed door when there are many open doors? Catch the fish where you can, man. And by the way, beloved, the greatest missionary frontier, I believe, in the history of the world is where all of the people are right now, as I speak. Billions are on the internet. I reach more people in so-called closed doors. If I had 100 passports, if I was born in the nation, if I had $1 million, there are countries on this earth that would not let me in to preach the gospel. They won't even let their own people preach the gospel. They're tearing down crosses. They're tearing down Christian flags. I have people in China who listen to me in underground churches, in Iran, in Iraq, in Muslim countries around the globe every day. If you're not on the internet preaching the gospel, you're nowhere. God has opened up a great door for all of us to share the gospel. See, you say, well, I want to do it the old-fashioned way, like the missionaries and so forth. Well, you can do that. That's wonderful. I'm glad for you. Do it. Yeah, do it. But I'm here to tell you, you ought to do that and do this. Share the gospel online. You can reach the world with the gospel like never before. And do it while you can, because the door might be closing soon. Take advantage of it while you can. Personally, and I've said this before, I thank God for Google. I thank God for YouTube. I thank God for these tech masters of the universe. Facebook, Apple, they've allowed me to reach millions with the gospel right from where I'm at. I get more invitations than I've ever gotten in my life to go preach. in countries around the world. And you know what I say? The reason why you're asking me to come and preach there is because you can hear me and see me very well right from here. I have preachers that we feature on our sites who have told me they've been invited to go preach in other places. And they have taken the opportunity to do so. You must understand, it's not in the method, man, people. It is in the man Christ Jesus. It's not in the method. It is in the word of God. It is in the gospel. That's what, see, what has happened to you is that is you think it's all about you and your unique gifts. And we all have unique gifts, man, people. God has blessed this world with all kinds of gifts, opportunities, and platforms, and talents. I'm amazed. Let me tell you something. I wish I could be in that field of that group of people who do the talent searching stuff. We got about 5 or 6 shows out there right now in television land. It's all about finding talent. And they are very successful. You know why? Because God has given everybody some talent, some ability, some gift that they can use to glorify God. Recently, I have written a book regarding football and how that God has received the glory even through football. You say, football, that's just a game. I know all about it. That's just a game. But I'm here to tell you, God receives glory even through football. God receives glory through baseball. God receives glory through preacher, that's just a game. That's not church. How can God receive glory? We ought not to be talking like that. He receives a whole lot of glory. While billions are watching a running back, be he black or white, a running back run down the field and strut all the way into the end zone, and they pointing to God while they're crossing the end zone. They're giving God the glory. You know why they do that? Because they know they can't play that game without him giving them the gifts to do so. So it's not in, my beloved, the method. It is in the gospel. You just share the gospel by any means necessary. Stop taking pictures of yourself. People are sick and tired of seeing you on Facebook and on Instagram and your wonderful family, which is probably the Adams family times two. Stop trying to tell people how wonderful you are and share the gospel. Take a picture of John 3:16. Spread the gospel online while you can. I'm here to tell you, it's the greatest missionary frontier ever. Ever. You can reach a whole lot of people real fast. And I believe that God has allowed the tech giants, the tech masters of the universe, to create the internet. And what a thing they created. And to all the stuff that comes from it and out of it and goes through it. I believe God allowed it at this time to spread the gospel all around the world. You're wasting your time and your life if you're not spreading the gospel online. People in Iran will listen. People in Iraq will listen. People in Saudi Arabia. I can't tell you how many folks in Saudi Arabia listen to me preach the gospel. All of those Muslim countries. Pakistan. India. I can't tell you how many. Philippines. All around the world. China. All across Africa, lit up. We see the stats. We have the stats, man, in the millions of folk who have heard the gospel, who have been touched by the gospel. One of the reasons why God used Billy Graham so much, because Billy Graham was not afraid to use new technology. Who? Radio? Who? Television? Bring it on. Let's get the gospel out around the world. And I want to tell you something. You'll be amazed at how people are so touched, even when the person is not there in front of them. Being alone in their room or in a cell or walking down the street, it becomes a very personal and intimate situation when the evangelist is talking straight into your ears. It's a personal thing. And you know who else is there? When the gospel is proclaimed, you know who else is there? They feel somebody else there with them. His name is Jesus. They feel the power of the Holy Spirit, because the gospel is accompanied by the power, the presence, the person of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be there, man. It's not about you. You're just an instrument, man. You're just a tool, woman. It's not about you. You don't have to be there. God has saved their soul through his gospel. And millions have been saved, by the way, with somebody hearing the gospel on television. I believe to this day my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., is in heaven because he heard the preaching of Billy Graham on television. I thought Billy Graham was the most boring man on earth. I would rather watch paint dry. My dad would try to get me to watch Billy Graham preach. But I mean to tell you, my dad would get his Lonnie Dorns, sit in his easy chair, buddy, and listen to the whole program. And was flabbergasted that I was not interested at all. None of us were interested. None of the children were interested. My mother was not interested. I believe my dad bowed his head, because I saw my dad change once he trusted Christ as Savior. I may have some doubts about others being saved in my family, but I don't have any doubts about my dad. I saw him get saved. I saw him change. And he did not get saved from the churches he was going to and working in. He believed the gospel and got saved, and his life changed. One of the most loving men that you'll ever want to meet through technology. You ought to pass out a gospel tract today, because you have not done it. You've been sending little Instagram shots of yourself standing on the edge of a mountain getting ready to fall off and other such foolishness. Let me tell you something. Get you a gospel tract. They're free online. And send it out today to your little downline, your little followers, your little fans, your little friends that you think are your friends. They're not. They don't even know you. They are my friend. No, they're not. Ask them for $50. See how much money you get. But here's what you need to do. Go to Fellowship Track League. Copy you a track from there. They'll let you do it. It's free. And send it out to all of the people you know. You don't have to do it every day. Do it once a month. Do it once a week. If every Christian did it, we might be getting out of here soon through the rapture. I don't know. Anyway, my beloved, Sabine Baring Gold wrote so many years ago one of my favorite hymns, "Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal Master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banners go." Next week we'll be singing this song for our Bible study, which I've been on vacation from for a while. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doeth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. May God deliver us from so many defeated Christians, so many Christians who are not victorious. I'm here to tell you the Christ you serve is victorious. You need to get, in the words of Curtis Hudson, the great soul winner, you need to get on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Oh, yes, I'm on the winning side. I'm going through some trouble, but I'm on the winning side. Oh, I'm on the winning side. Oh, yes, I'm on the winning side. Glory be to God, I'm on the winning side. Because I don't know the words, I made up some words, but I didn't make up, I'm on the winning side. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices loud, your anthems raise. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine. We're talking about the true church now, one in charity. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, not sad throng, our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Men and angels sing. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, by the end of this day, over 2,000 people would have probably heard me preach the gospel. Some are listening to me right now live on various and sundry outlets. It is an amazing opportunity and privilege. Do what you can. Stop worrying about what you can't do. Do what you can. And God has given all of us as Christians a great opportunity to share the gospel. Onward, Christian soldiers. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father, God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today. Thank you for your holy gospel. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to prepare for persecution. And while we're preparing for that, Lord, help us to take advantage of the opportunities to share the gospel before all doors are shut, or at least many doors are shut. And Lord, if we're not in the right place, help us to move to the right place so that we can continue to proclaim the gospel freely. Have mercy and grace upon us as Christian people and forgive us of our sins, our failures and faults. Help us to repent. Lord, we know who we are and we know what we have done. Crush and crucify our flesh. The old man within us all, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And save that soul that is nearest hell today. Revive Christians to get back on the firing line. And the firing line, as they have been informed today, may very well be in front of their computer. Being wise as serpents, being smart, harmless as doves. Lord, I pray that thousands of Christians today would share a gospel tract or a personal gospel message, maybe even more powerfully, their own personal testimony. Help them to do it online. Lord, if they want to go on the mission field and visit the people they reach, that's even a greater opportunity and privilege. Help them to do both by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today, here or online, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin. And there is punishment for sin. Been that way since the beginning of time. This is why we have prisons. This is why we have jails. For sin must be punished. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. That's a simple truth. You understand it. But it is a reality. Somehow we sometimes foolishly think that we can get away with sin. Nobody gets away with sin, my friend. Nobody. Nobody. If a household is run right, the children will be chastised and rebuked. The parents will be rebuked and punished as well if they do evil. Let a grown person go out speeding down the road. The parent police, if you will pull them over. And they have the authority, the badge, and the gun to do so. And punish them for speeding, breaking the laws of society, the laws of the land. God is the one who has given them the authority. Sin must be punished, my friend. Oh, yes. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death," all day long, every day. And that's why people are dying left and right, because of sin. That's the ultimate reason. So you ask, why did those people die? Why did they die? Sin. The wages of sin is death. It's just a matter of when you're going to die and how you're going to die. Beautiful young lady this past week, in her 20s, somehow had somebody else's daughter in the car with her, 16 years old. She had been pulled over for driving drunk many times, and she was driving drunk again, evidently, and this time was the last time. She was killed. The 16-year-old child was killed. In fact, the father of the 16-year-old child was one of the first responders. Mm-hmm. And while they were trying to peel back the metal on the children, on the young people, the father didn't even realize his daughter was killed in that crash. Why did she die? Why did they die? Ultimately, it's because of sin. Not the immediate sin, but sin itself that is in our lives, in our nature. And you're going to die. Maybe not for a specific sin, but your sinful nature. I'm going to die. We're going to die. Sin is punished in this life and will be punished if you don't trust Christ as Savior in the life to come in a place called hell. So third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. I know that people don't like to hear that, but Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. I wonder why preachers today don't preach on hell. You know why? They're more concerned about the moolah. They're more concerned about money and keeping behinds in the seats, in the pews, than they are about their souls. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In hell. Hell is a real place. Now, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally, forever with him. So pray and ask him to come into your heart today, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from being in hell with the devil forever. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God. And saved, I believe, to a life of peace, a life of joy, even in the midst of tribulation and trouble. People ask Christians all the time, seem like no matter what happened, you just are full of peace and joy. No matter what happens in your life, you just still have peace and joy. People ask Christians that all the time. And how is that? I'm glad you asked. Jesus Christ. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Pray and ask him to save you. I'm not going to tell you he's going to give you an easier life. You will experience bad things in this life, whether you're saved or not. But you will respond to them differently when you're saved. And then he'll give you heaven and peace forevermore. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save you, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll help you with the prayer, the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things. I've lied about things in the past. And I have stolen things as well. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he died on the cross for your sins, all of your sins, and you're receiving him as your payment for your sins. He paid your sin debt. He paid it all. He died on the cross for you, was buried, and rose on the third day. Allow me to say to you, if you believe that, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.